Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman. A winter storm is expected to hit the East Coast this weekend, and perhaps you're thinking, hey, if I'm going to be trapped indoors, let me at least use the time to take care of some of those things I've been putting off, like going online and getting a ticket to an upcoming game or a concert. Maybe there's some Hamilton tickets available. Well, good luck with that one. Stephen Colbert even joked about it when he hosted the Kennedy Center Honors.
As I stand here, humbled by the beautiful John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts, surrounded by some of the most influential people in politics and culture, I am inspired to ask, can anyone get me tickets to Hamilton?
It's not that you can't find tickets to the hottest shows. It's just that it's going to cost you several hundred, maybe even thousands of dollars above the actual ticket price. So why does it feel like only scalpers and resellers are the ones who get tickets when they go on sale? Well, joining me are two reporters who have looked at this issue. Jason Abruzzese is with Mashable, and Ethan Smith is with The Wall Street Journal. And Jason, when the tickets first go on sale at Ticketmaster, why is it so hard to get one?
Imagine like a mad rush of people, like every Taylor Swift fan in the world, trying to fit through maybe 15 turnstiles. I mean, you're going to end up with a bad choke point. A lot of people, you know, getting crushed underfoot. And think of those are the consumers who don't get tickets. And a few people getting through, those are the lucky ones. But that's kind of the metaphorical idea of what happens with these ticket sales.
But Ethan, is there something else going on? Because the resellers, the scalpers, they do get the tickets. So what are they doing that all the Taylor Swift fans aren't doing?
Well, to kind of unpack Jason's metaphor a little further, there are a few factors at play here. One, there are actually surprisingly few tickets available to the public when they go on sale, especially in New York, where you guys are. And I'm in Los Angeles here, you know, markets where there are a lot of VIPs and marketing partners and, you know, the list goes on. There are all kinds of people, you know, claiming tickets before they go on sale to the public. So it's a huge percentage of the venue may just be off the map. Then, as Jason said, thanks to the internet, you know, the magic of the internet, everybody has access to the on sale. And then brokers and scalpers often use bots that automatically generate hundreds or thousands of requests for tickets per minute. So they also just have this technological advantage over normal people. And Ticketmaster tries to take measures to block them, and then the software improves, and it's, you know, it's a little bit of an arms race.
Yeah, Jason, I would think that these sites don't want that to happen. They have that CAPTCHA at the bottom where you have to try and prove that you're a real person. How do they overcome this?
They've got a few different ways. The CAPTCHA's one, which is basically trying to prove that you're a human. They can identify certain IP addresses and start blocking them. For the Adele presale, most recently, Ticketmaster claimed that they blocked something like a million bot requests, which is pretty mind-blowing. That's how fast these things happen.
But it feels like that the average person just can't get seats at popular shows unless they have a lot of money, a lot of disposable income.
Well, as Ethan was just saying, yeah, I mean, there's so few seats in the first place. And then the few seats that do get out there, you really have to work for. There's a few tricks of the trade some people use. Like if you're a big Adele fan, make sure you join her fan club because the fan club's going to get pre-sales. Otherwise, you know, if you just kind of wait till the last minute and jump in line with everybody else, you're really leaving yourself up to the brutality of this industry.
Ethan, is it just something that you should just kind of accept that you're not going to get to see Adele, you won't see Kobe Bryant play his last game, you can just forget about trying to get tickets to Hamilton?
You probably can do all those things, but you're probably going to have to pay a lot. That's just sort of the free market. You know, all these apps and all these internet marketplaces, people love them because they create a more liquid, true free market. Well, when something is in high demand, that means the prices go up.
Jason, Ethan brought up this issue of there's just more demand than there is supply. When you look at the resale market, is it basically economics at work?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a market that had never seen this kind of liquidity, this kind of, you know, transparency of the pricing up until maybe a few years ago when StubHub, SeatGeek really blew up. Before that, it was a very opaque market. You really didn't know how much a ticket should cost. You knew what was face and you knew what maybe one or two resellers.
I should also say sites like StubHub aren't totally transparent. What you see listed are asking prices. You have no idea what the ticket actually sells for. All anybody really notices are the eye-popping asking prices.
Some performers are trying to find different ways to get the tickets in the hands of their fans. Louis C.K. did this when he went on tour at one point. Is that sort of thing working to try and make it so, to use your analogy, the Taylor Swift fans can actually get in?
I don't think you're seeing that quite as much. Kid Rock actually had a cool idea a few years ago, which was charge very, very cheap general admission, but very, very high prices for the VIP, figuring that, well, there's some people who are going to have a lot of money and want to come see my show. Let's charge them more so it subsidizes the cheaper tickets. We're not seeing that catch on too much because I still think that those general admission tickets, if there's enough demand, they're still going to go up. It's really tough to keep those prices down.
And Louis C.K. is a very unusual case. He's incredibly famous. He's a one-man operation. He can perform in oddball venues where Ticketmaster, you know, isn't locked in as the exclusive seller. He can set his own terms, and he doesn't have to worry too much about whether people will show up. He knows people will show up. So if you're Louis C.K., it's a great approach. If you're anybody else, maybe not.
So this sounds like it's all bad news for consumers, but I'm also wondering if there are benefits to people who want to go to concerts and sporting events in this online world that we're in.
The other day, I looked on Friday night just to see what was on StubHub, and I could go to a Brooklyn Nets game for, I think it was $9.50 or something like that, clearly below face value. I was looking at a variety of different musical shows that were either around face value or a little below that, and a few that were a little bit more expensive, but were still kind of in what would seem to be a reasonable range to just say, hey, it's Friday night, let me get this ticket.
Yeah, I think if you're relaxed about it, it may benefit you, the online secondary market or even the real life secondary market. You know, if you show up to an event that wasn't super hot 5 minutes after the show starts, you may find brokers just trying to unload their inventory for anything.
Well, what are some of the other stories that you guys are paying attention to, Ethan?
I am going to be curious to see what the Academy does next week to try to diversify its membership and diversify the Oscar nominees in the big categories.
Jason, what are you watching?
So if you've cut the cord or follow the cable industry at all, you're probably very familiar with people talking about the death of the bundle. We're not convinced that that's what it's going to be. And we're kind of working on a story about the new bundles like Amazon Prime wrapping in like four or five different things, YouTube Red wrapping in music with video. So we're looking at what kind of like the new age bundles are going to be and what that means for consumers.
Well, Jason Abruzzi is with Mashable and Ethan Smith with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks so much for joining.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much.
And I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.